tonight I'm going to take a little time and we're going to look at what God says about how to pray for missionaries. And I believe it'll be an encouragement to you. And maybe you have already established a way that you cry out to God on behalf of missionaries, but this may be something that for some of you it would be a great tool. And it's not original with me, actually. Biblical Ministries Worldwide has written a little book about this, Praying Over the Seven Seas. And it's kind of a play on words, but I wanted to use this and sort of, you all have been such a huge part of what God is doing in Palau. And I wanted to use this as sort of a springboard to show you how to pray for missionaries, but then to turn around and show you how God has answered specific prayers that you have called out to God for us. And I think hopefully as we work together through this, I think it'll really encourage you and be also a challenge for you. You know, as you think of in military, how when there's a place that needs to be sort of freed, or there's a place in the world that the enemy has a stronghold, and the military strategists come together. They don't just send the combat troops in initially. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. And there's also not just the combat troops, but there are combat support troops who are also working together. And what happens is prior to the combat troops ever going in, the support troops go and they drop bombs and they try to soften the stronghold that's there. And this is exactly the way it is with missions and the church. Before we went to Palau, we let you all know, and as a church, you rallied behind us. You prayed with us. And literally, what you were doing was you were flying over to Palau. Even though none of you went initially, you were literally, as you prayed and you said, God, please, go before them. You were dropping bombs on thousands of years of Satan's strongholds. And every place around the world that Brookside is partnering with missionaries and you are praying for them, as I've been in several Wednesday nights here over the last few months, and you pray for missionaries. And that is a strategic part of what God is doing. And some of the hard part about prayer is we don't really see what's happening. And so part of what I wanted to do tonight is sort of kind of hit rewind and show you a little bit of what specific prayers God has done, has answered, and then also learn how we can pray more effectively. So let's call out to God right now for help, and then we'll jump right into our study. Lord, I just want to praise you for your amazing plan for man, that in the middle of all of the chaos, you have made a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. You've made a way, and it's through Jesus. It's not by going to church. It's not by doing as best as we can. It's simply faith in you. And God, tonight we bow and we pause and we just want to thank you for that unbelievable plan. But not only that, God, we thank you that your plan included this personal relationship that can go on. And it really is anchored to that time that we call out to you and we pray and we listen to you as we read your word. And so tonight we want to just thank you for that. Thank you for this time we can spend in your word. And we pray that you would help us to understand it in an even more clear way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I almost thought about the guys putting the score of the Milwaukee Brewers up, because I know some of you are going to be checking your app, but I do think, I appreciate you being here. I know that's a big deal, and I love the Brewers. I don't follow a lot of baseball, because over there we don't really have a lot of ability to do that, but it'll be fun to see what happens. So let's look in Colossians chapter 4. And we're just going to look at a few verses tonight. And if you look at Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Now, we're going to look at seven specific ways that you can pray for missionaries. And the first one is care. And as you notice in that verse, it said, being watchful. Okay, that idea of watchful is not flippant. You're actually specific. You're crying out to God. And that word care deals with things that are going on in a missionary's life. And you remember about a year and a half ago, we asked for prayer for Emma. We didn't know what was going on. During the week, she had a high fever, 104, 105, and we thought, you know, it's probably dengue fever. We've had that in our house before, and it's miserable, but it won't kill you. You just have to, well, sometimes, but you just have to drink a lot of water and rest. And it's a horrible feeling. And Emma was so sick, we thought it was dengue fever. But after a few days, her breathing became very shallow, to the point where I knew this wasn't right. And so I called a lady in our church who's a doctor, and she said, John, take her into the emergency room right now. So we took her in, and they did some x-rays, and they discovered that she had pretty severe pneumonia. And so they began a treatment, but they also did a CAT scan, and they found what they called a perforated lesion. And that was sort of I didn't know what it was. I looked it up, and it wasn't good. And so I called on the church to pray. And many of you cried out to God on our behalf and on Emma's behalf. And I believe God removed that. We went, there's so many details that I just saw God's hand from getting, arranging for a flight for Jamie and Emma to fly back to Atlanta. God did all of that in amazing ways. And we saw this, she flew back and the doctors did tests and they said, we think it was simply bacteria. And it was not cancer. She has one more follow-up visit when we get back to Atlanta in November. And but as far as we know, it is completely, it's gone. And so that is a specific answer to prayer for care. You know, sometimes God sees fit to say, okay, I'm going to take this away. And he answers our cry. But other times as you pray, God says, you know, I love you. And I care about you, and I hear your prayer, but it's not my will to take this away right now. And so really, when you pray for missionaries in care, you're asking that God gives them safety and protection and maybe deliverance from that. But on the other side of the coin, don't forget to pray, God give them grace to endure this. And if it be your will in the middle of all of this to be able to, that your name could be magnified through this. So that's a two-sided part of praying for missionaries. Amy Carmichael, missionary in India, said, if you are ever inclined to pray for a missionary, do it at once, wherever you are. Perhaps he may be in great peril at that moment. You know, there have been, some of you in this church have written us in the night, our night and your day, and you said, last night God woke me up at 2 a.m. and what were you doing at this time? And Jamie will look back and she'll write back. And this has happened several times where we were in a dangerous place or something was going on and they felt such an urgency to pray. And I don't know, but I believe with all my heart that's how God works. I don't really understand how prayer works, but I do know that somehow God designed it for us to call out to him and it moves the hand of God. And so as a church, what I want to encourage you with is to pray. Just call out to God. And sometimes you'll have a nightmare, even for your child or for someone, and you wake up and you lay there and you're worrying about them. But instead of worrying, cry out and pray for them. I really believe that's part of God's plan. Now, another passage in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verses 1 and 2, it says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. You know, this is not just a prayer for health. It's also a prayer for just physical well-being, things going on in life. Our house where we live. And right now, Heather and Reed are staying there with Eliana and Landon. And by the way, they're doing awesome. I'll tell you more about that on Sunday night. But our neighbor is a lady that is part of the clan, and her job is sort of, the best way I could say it would be like the clan witch. And what's so fascinating, well, first of all, she does not care for the gospel at all. And singing godly music drives her crazy. And so she doesn't really care for us. She put her trash can right on the property line and puts rotten fish in it. And so Sunday morning early, we have to go out. Saturday, really, we check it. And if there's nothing there, Sunday morning, we check it again. But you have to take that, bury it in the ground so that it doesn't stink on Sunday, because the summer house literally is right here where people sit, and the trash can is right here. And so there's opposition. And, you know, that's not the end of the world, but it is. It wears on you after time. What's so cool, though, is, and I'm just kind of sidetrack here for a second, the previous clan witch is named Elizabeth. She came down with cancer, and our church would go and visit her and sing with her, pray with her, read her scripture, and share the gospel. Elizabeth, after about 4 or 5 months, trusted in Jesus. And about a month later, we continued visiting her and singing with her and praying with her. She passed away. The family asked us to be part of the funeral. And it was a very unusual situation, because all the people, the clan at funerals, are about 500 of the family that come together. And they all knew who this woman was and what she had done. It's very clear. And yet, she had trusted Jesus. And so I shared some scripture, really the story about the parable of the men that went to work, one at 8 and one at 12 and one at 5, and how they all received the same pay. And I talked about how God's grace is so real for us. Even on the point of our deathbed, his grace is real, and it can wash away our sins. And talked about how Elizabeth found that forgiveness. And one of the ladies in our church, actually, she was there. She wasn't in our church at the time, heard it, and was so moved, showed up on Thursday and started coming, came to know Jesus. And now her whole family has come to know Jesus, and her husband is one of our deacons. And so God can save this lady. So pray for our neighbor. Pray for her. That's part of the care. Now, I know we're going to have to really move. Let me just move to contacts. And look back at verse 2. Continue steadfast, earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Now, contacts are those people that in your everyday life that you run into that you could build some kind of a connection with. That's what you're praying for. The ability to just somehow, you know, somehow connect, whether it's on some topic or you're just, even as you go and you fill your car up with gas, if you go in, make, instead of just swiping your card, make it a point to go in and pay. Not many people do that anymore, but you can build a relationship. That's a contact. And this little girl in this picture, her name is Dil June. And Dil June was a high-risk student, sixth grade, and John Clapp was asked by the Core Youth program to set up a mentoring program. And so he did, and he asked Allie to be one of the teens that would mentor. And the program went for about 3 months, and not many of the kids really stayed in it, but Dil June and Allie were so connected and really enjoyed time with each other. They weren't supposed to do Bible studies, but they would get to spend time together. And at the end of the program, sort of didn't work, and so Allie and Dil June were talking, and Dil June said, "Would you please just keep meeting with me?" And Allie said, "Yeah, I will, but I'd like to have one request. I want to be able to do a Bible study with you." And Dil June said, "Okay." And within just a few weeks, Dil June trusted in Jesus. She was baptized, and after Allie went to college, she went to Ashley and said, "Ashley, would you please do a Bible study with me? And Ashley said, I'd love to. So Ashley started having a Bible study with her. And shortly after that, Ashley and her would play the guitar, and Ash found out that she loved music and was really good. And Diljun became a very good guitar player and actually is now the guitar player for the church on Sundays. She leads. And listen to me, as you pray for context, not just for missions and for missionaries, but pray for people here. You don't know, but maybe one of the people that is helping you behind the counter at Chick-fil-A could be a pastor, could be someone, a missionary that would go and change the world, but they need Jesus, and they need someone who cares enough to really see them as a soul, as a person. I love being around Pastor Ken. Everywhere I go when I'm with him, whether it's in Palau or here in Brookfield, there's an urgency, and you sense that. You feel it. It's not a facade. It's not a put-on. And that's what you pray for. Pray for that for those contacts and also for the missionary to have that sense of seeing people in their life that way. Colossians, and I showed you this, he said that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. That is exactly what, when you pray for it, you're praying for that very thing. I just want to just share a couple more things here. The guy in the blue shirt holding the fish there, his name is The Coat. How many of you know The Coat? Okay, thanks. I'm so glad you guys loved on him and brought him in. He's such a special guy. He's now in Greenville. He's graduated from Bob Jones. He's working, selling insurance, and but he's doing well. But what was so cool about The Coat is that when he came to know Jesus, he was at a basketball outreach. It was in 2010. Kevin had a big part in his life. But he came to know Jesus. And when I was following up with discipleship, he said, John, do you mind if I bring my brother? And I said, sure. And he brought 8 other guys. And so Saturday nights, we would meet, and we'd study the Bible together. And before long, 7 of those young men came to know Jesus. The boy on the left, his name is Menge. On my left, I think it may be your right. No, it's your left, right? Yep, your left. His name is Menge. He's at Bob Jones and is a junior studying Bible, passionate about God and about the Word of God. In fact, you know, he took Greek. He actually came here. You guys remember Menge? He came here, and guess what? During one of the services here, God called him to preach. He went back to Bob Jones, went into Greek class, and was the top student in his class. That's amazing. I know how hard Greek is. But his passion, he wants to go back to Palau and retranslate the Bible. It was translated from the Good News Translation by 5 Catholics and 5 Lutherans. And so it's got a little bit of a interesting twist as you study it. Menge wants to go back and put together a really solid translation along with pastoring. And so pray for Menge. But that, another guy, from The Coat came Menge. And just quickly, the boy on the right, his name is Hayden. He's at Harvest right now studying. He doesn't feel God's calling him into pastorate, but he feels that maybe he's going to be a businessman or helping in some way in the community, but like serving in the church as a deacon or whatever. But let me just show you this real quick. You can't really see him well, but the man behind the computer, we don't wave our arms in Palau because, first of all, I started and I don't have any timing, and you don't want me to wave my arms or it's going to really look awkward. But it's sort of laid back. Well, he's there. He's leading the church in music. And do you know who that man is? That is The Coat's dad. The Coat, for a whole year, prayed for his dad to come to know Jesus. And one day before Christmas, he came into the house and he went to his room and his dad said, son, what's wrong with you? Because he didn't really talk to his dad. And he said, just tell me what's wrong with you. And The Coat said, nothing's wrong, Dad. And he said, no, tell me what you want for Christmas. Tell me what you want. And The Coat said, you know, I really don't want anything for Christmas, Dad. And he said, no, son, tell me what you want. He said, you know, Dad, the thing I want the most, I want you to come to know Jesus. And so Malas said, you know, son, I'll quit drinking. I'll quit drinking, because he thought that was what it meant. And I'll quit drinking. And so the coach just said, I just want you to come to know Jesus. And so that went on. He prayed and prayed for his dad. And it was about New Year's, and his dad came to me during the service and said, John, I'm ready to trust in Jesus to be my Savior. So we met after the service, and for about an hour together, we went through the gospel. He fully got it, was saved. And now Malas is leading the church in music. Listen, I'm saying all of that because I believe God's plan for the church hinges so intricately on evangelism, and you praying and seeing contacts, praying for missionaries that they would see the contacts and also that they would have those opportunities with people. So much of our Christian life makes more sense when we're doing what God has designed us to do. I don't really have a ton of time to go through as much as this. This is another lady named Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa came to know Jesus, a part of our church. I wish I could tell you her story, but it's a cool story, but I can tell you somewhere in the back if you ask me. This is the next one. So you pray for care, pray for contacts, and pray for courage. Courage, this young man, I'm going to show you the picture there. His name is Tata Koi. And our church has this youth service in March. It's a special, it's called Youth Awareness Sunday. Youth Awareness Week, and the school is off. They play games as if the youth weren't aware they're youth, but they do it. And our church said, you know, let's do this to sort of go along with what's going on in the government, and let's have a special Sunday. So the youth preach, and they do all the music and everything. And then we go to the bridge, this nice, fun place for the kids to swim, and we have a pizza party. One of the local restaurants donated all the pizza. We had 50 pizzas and a whole bunch of kids. We were all having fun, and one of the youth came to me and said, John, there's a fight. So I was like, okay. I don't really like to be involved with fights, but I walked over, and I saw this guy and another bigger guy in a huge fight, and this ranger had been punched in the face, and it was out of control. And on this guy's arm was his little mom. And I knew her. She's a legislator. She's holding on to him and screaming and saying, let's go, let's go. And so I went over to him and said, hey, I didn't know his name. I was like, hey, brat, doleo, how am I saying? I'm telling him, don't do this. And I started dragging him away from this other guy who was just raging. And got him away, and he went into the little summer house. Just then the police came, and everything sort of ended. Well, the next Sunday, he was in the church, sitting underneath the sign. And I came over and I shook his hand. I didn't know him. And he said, thank you. And I said, for what? And he said, because you got me out of the mess I was in. He said, if I would have got arrested, I've gone back to jail. I'm on probation. And I said, you know, hey, I kind of know, I can sense you're trying to change. Would you like to get together? I'd love to talk with you more. And so Tuesday, we met, and Tata Koi heard the gospel. For about 2 hours, we went through it, and he fully understood it. With tears in his eyes, he prayed and asked Jesus in his heart, and he was baptized on Easter. And when you pray for courage, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's courage to stand up to stuff that the missionary is sort of in a spot where he's being tempted or pushed to compromise, like mixing with some of those teachers that aren't teaching truth, and it would be a popular move, but it would definitely not be a biblical move. And you got to pray for courage to stand up and do that. And right here in this passage in Ephesians 6, look at that last part where I have it underlined. Also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And Paul said it several times, boldly. I pray for boldness, pray for courage, because as a missionary, it's easy for us to not say anything, not do anything. But boldness means you have that inner courage to do what you need to do. Now, the next one is clarity. And just quickly, I mean, this is a Palawan funeral. It's kind of hard to see what's going on. But at these funerals, as I mentioned earlier, there's 500 people that would gather together from the clan. And it's a two-week process leading up to one day where they all come together and they give money, and it's read over the loudspeaker. But they allow they allow our church to sing. The people in Palau love the music, and they hear us. We've had opportunities that sort of have been over the years that we've been able to do this, and it has. At this funeral, we sang. It was the Saturday before we left on Monday. Our church sang 50 songs, and right after that, though, there's an opportunity for me to share the gospel. And so for 7 minutes, I was able to share with these people how they can have their sins forgiven. And when you pray for clarity, you're praying, God help the missionary know the words to say in their language, to be able to communicate it in a way, because there's certain ways, if you don't say it right, they'll just continue believing they're okay. You have to have that insight. And I could share more with you about that, but it is very important to pray that way, because in this culture, it's a matriarchal society. It's also it has an indigenous religion called Mothuk Nghe. And this is just a slice of one missionary, but all around the world, there's different angles. And what has to happen is you have to pray for clarity to be able to see and know how to help that person understand the gospel. And that's why when Paul was saying this here, he was asking for prayer that these people would pray specifically that he could say the words the way he should say it. And look at that again. It says, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Let me just quickly show you this. This is a little testimony from a man. Just a quick story about him. That's Sergeant Joseph. He's in the Seabees. Their presence in Palau, it's a military presence to sort of keep the compact trust going there. And he came to help me on a project at my house, and he was going to pour some cement. And as we were waiting for the cement truck to come, he said, John, you know, I'm an agnostic. If there is a God, I don't think he cares. And I knew immediately that he'd been hurt at some point, and so I began to pray for him and started to reach out to him, took him fishing. We spent some time. We went to a restaurant together, and little by little, I could see him starting to understand it, and Sergeant Joseph put his faith in Jesus. And here's a guy that came from all around the world, on the other side of the world, flew over to Palau doing military work, and he trusted in Jesus. And that's what you're praying for, conversions. People that are, they don't know what they want. They're crying out and saying, God, or I need help. And they don't even know really if God is even real. And part of what God's doing is he's putting you in strategic places, people in your life, even at your school or at your work that need Christ. And this is what Paul said, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. So pray for conversions. Real quickly, Christ-likeness. And I'm going to sort of tie this one together with the next one. The next one is coworkers. And when you pray for Christ-likeness, imagine that this is all first generation. The whole church, first generation believers. You've just been saved less than a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe some of you 10 years ago. But the whole momentum of your family, your society around you is all not Christ-like. It puts a whole different spin on what really the church looks like. The godly elderly, we don't have any second generation or people that have walked with God for 40 years. And part of that is when you pray for missions and Christ-likeness, you're praying for the churches that are starting. Pray for also the team for Christ-likeness. You know the number one reason why missionaries leave the field? It's conflict among the team. So pray for that. Now, I put up Heather and Reed's picture here. They came over less than about a year ago to Palau and overlapped with us for about 6 months, and we had a great time with them. They are doing so awesome, connecting with people, loving people, and they're really wonderful teammates. They know how to work with what's going on, and we thank God for that. And our other teammates, here's a picture of Reed teaching, and he's an excellent teacher as well, preacher. Here's John and Heather Clapp. John came to Palau in 2007. We went in 06, and they came just shortly after in 07. And John has just been such a great teammate because sort of like a husband and wife, you have differences. And John is, I wish I could take time to tell you how cool God did this, but he put together two guys that see the same problem and we choose two different ways. But then as we look at it and we pray about it, we come together and it's really a great plan. And that's something God has to do. And so when you pray, as you pray for missions, pray for Christ-likeness, pray for co-workers. Here's a picture of John real quick as he's up front. He leads, he's doing a wonderful job leading. And I wanted to just give you this verse as we finish tonight. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And what I want to say is that there are so many people around the world that need Jesus. And I wish I could have communicated this a little better, but it doesn't take unbelievable skill to be a missionary. All it takes is a heart that says, "God, I want to know you, I want to please you, and I want to make you known. That's my goal. I want to just make you known." And then what happens is God starts to say, "Hey, I want you to do this." And you continue just to simply say, "God, I want to please you. I want to know you, and I'm going to make you known." And as he says, "I want you to go here," you do it. And I believe even in this room, there are some who just don't know, I don't know if I could do this. Sure, there's some of you that need to stay right where you are and get involved and be passionate and be a prayer warrior. But there's some of you that I believe God is working in. And you're saying, "I don't know. I don't know if I could do this." And the awesome part about missions is it's not about you. It's about your God. And right now, I know of a project going on. I'm not going to take much time on this. You could talk with me after if you got some questions in your mind. There's a project going on with BMW called the Maleo Project in Indonesia, where they need three couples to three different locations to go and actually start at ground zero, learn language, culture, build relationships in these villages, and help people come to know Jesus. And maybe right here tonight, you're sitting here like, "I don't know." Talk to me at least, and I can pray with you and help you just in whatever way we can. But that's the way I would just ask you to pray. Pray in these seven C's that God would continue to do his work in missions. And I hope tonight was just a help in encouraging you through that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the time we've spent together. And I pray that you'll just continue to work in us. Help us to see that we all have a part. It's not just some couple getting in a jet and going somewhere on the other side of the world, but it's all of us together as we pray and as we give, that we're working together to reach a world for Jesus. And we give you all the praise for it. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.